So there you have it, John Williams. Very dramatic testimony this afternoon from the Layton Criminal Courts building. Jason Van Dyke talking about the moments that he shot Laquan McDonald and then facing cross-examination, a tough cross-examination from Kane County Assistant Prosecutor Jody Gleason.
It's interesting how she ended that, isn't it? She seemed to have felt that she scored a point. That is, Officer Van Dyke, did he have the knife in his hand and he was on the ground and he was unable to move and you were shooting at the gun, or was he trying to get up and come at you again? Maybe you still needed to subdue him. And there seemed to be a little bit of a contradiction there, and that's when she said no further questions and she walked away.
And he tried to continue to answer right as she walked away.
You get the feeling that that's going to be a focal point of her summary. It's also interesting that he said, I don't know, I don't remember, I was in shock. It was a couple of years ago. I was under a lot of stress. So where he was unable to recall details, or where the details he was recalling did not agree with what we're seeing in the video, including his own defense team video, he says, well, but that wasn't my perspective. One other point about that, Steve.
Sure.
The quote-unquote my perspective video that his team presented, interestingly, isn't perfectly his angle, is it? Because it's from behind him and slightly elevated so we can see the whole scene. That interesting 3D video they presented.
Correct.
But that was from behind him. And he said, so whatever you see, video or even my own defense animation, that's not what I saw. And I saw something different than what you see.
And the prosecutor pointed out that it was presented as evidence in case as his perspective. Clearly it's not. You're right. If I can borrow from Judy Pilek in here, he remembered very clearly the moments of the shooting, and then his testimony was he had difficulty remembering much of the rest of the ordeal there.
Boy, we've heard something like that recently, haven't we? It's 2:28. I need to pause here, Steve. Will you be ready with the news in just a few minutes? I suppose we'll pause and catch up on a little bit of business. A lot of you have been texting questions and comments, 312-981-7200, so we'll try and do our best to answer them here at WGN. So is the court going to... by the way, thank you, Steve Bertrand. It's 2:38. This is WGN Radio, John Williams in the Allstate Skyline Studio. If you've just joined us, and I mean literally just that, you missed about 90 minutes of testimony from Jason Van Dyke on the stand in his own defense at his murder trial. He's charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder against Laquan McDonald and 16 counts of aggravated battery. So while he gave his testimony, was cross-examined, and then both sides had one more chance, he stepped down. They've taken a recess. Is the court adjourned for the day? Is the court adjourned for the trial? I don't know the answer.
Well,
to
certainly
that.
Not for the trial, John.
We don't have any closing testimony yet.
Well, and you'll the closing prosecution. Remarks. The prosecution goes again. They get a chance to, offer rebuttal testimony. So we could have a day or two of prosecution rebuttal. I don't know that they're done for the day today. They asked for a bit of a break, but they've done that a couple of times and then come back with a longer break than we were expecting. Eric Rung is there, and he just talked to Ryan Burrow just a few moments ago and didn't give it. Ryan, I don't know if you can hear me, but I don't think there's an indication they're done for the day yet, right? We haven't gotten that formally.
I noticed on CLTV.
But this is the time of day when they go.
Yeah, right. This would be you're saying it is about the time of the day that they would go?
They have ended testimony around this time on several of the days. Especially, it seems like it was ending earlier in the day during the defense's presentation than during prosecution.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Well, there's a graphic on CLTV. It says court will continue more momentarily, but I don't know that that's the end all in this case. If I were the judge, and I'm not, but it would seem to be a logical point to pause, I mean, for the rest of the day, and let the jurors hear and think about what they just heard rather than piling more information on them, because this was the moment everybody was waiting for. And right away, the defense, you sort of got into it. You know, I wondered if they were going to talk a little bit more about what a good guy he is, what a family man he is, how he's taken an oath to serve and protect. They asked him briefly, what was your day like? He talked about working as a security guard, about getting his kids ready for school and breakfast the next morning, and then, you know, heading to work that evening or afternoon. But they very quickly, within a matter of moments, were, you know, retelling his version of the events the night Laquan McDonald was shot. And he was up there for about 90 minutes. I don't know what the final take on it is. Among your texts, and, you know, obviously your texts and my interpretation and Steve's interpretation, none of that matters. It only matters to the people in the jury box. But you've been saying things like this. Why would they have put him on the stand? 847 said, I think he's acting. 773 said, his pausing and asking to repeat the question is something perps do when they know they've been caught. Do you think we would be here with the trial if only one or two shots were fired? 224 says, why on earth do we have a court stenographer? The trial is videotaped. Is it just a tradition? They paused early on to fix the stenographer's machine. 708 said, oh my gosh, what an actor. 773 said, Jason Van Dyke is a horrible witness. Not sure why the defense would put him up there. I don't think he was a terrible witness at all. I think he was a witness who was trying to save himself. I don't know if they're going to find him guilty or innocent. I don't know what the correct verdict is.
Would you agree that they were two very different styles of testimony?
You mean, what do you explain?
Well,
what you mean by that?
And it's perfectly understandable. You know, he's got one's on his friendly side and the other's unfriendly. But, you know, he clearly was willing to expand a little bit more, or certainly remembered more easily, challenged absolutely the questions less.
Right.
When it was coming from his attorneys, and then when it was coming from prosecution, there was that initial sort of barrier up where he was challenging, just, you know, I don't recall that, or you called him detective, not doctor, not
sure,
police,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
So there was that. The testimony is resuming now, so they are actually going to call another defense witness.
Wow.
So the defense will not rest with Jason Van Dyke today.
Hmm. I'm just still a little surprised that they're going right back at it, but they are. Maybe it's the judge's call in this case, too, huh? Maybe the judge says, we want to continue.
The jury left the room, and they had a, and, you know, I'm sorry I was talking to you, so I didn't catch every word of it, but they had a conversation about hearsay testimony and which of it could be allowed. You know, that was a law, I believe, that was allowed because of the Drew Peterson case, where they opened up the amount of hearsay testimony. So there was a resolution to that, and they brought the jury back in, and that's when they called this latest witness.
You mentioned the two different styles of testimony, though, and you're absolutely right, Steve, on redirect. For instance, Jason Van Dyke's attorney says, was he walking towards you? Yes, he was. Was he walking toward the fence? Yes, he was. Did you tell him to drop the knife? Yes, I did several times, but he never dropped the knife. Do you saw McGillicutt chasing him with a gun? Yes, I did. And he raised his knife? Yes, he did. His upper body is facing me, says Jason Van Dyke. Did you think you were going to be attacked? And Van Dyke said yes. And, I mean, that whole line of questioning and answering took 60 seconds. But when he is asked questions by the prosecution, you get a guy who doesn't remember. You get a guy who is very slow to answer.
A guy who said he was in shock.
Absolutely. I mean, and so I fully appreciate the pause, because he knows that every question is, I'll say, a trap. I mean, he needs to be so careful with everything he says. She's asking questions to try and get him to say something that's going to incriminate himself or make her case. So naturally, he's going to be more slowly answering them.
Correct.
Now, the jury has to decide who to believe. But at the end of the day, what you have is the video, the defense animation of the video, and then something completely different, which is what he said he saw and what he felt, and where there is no point in the video or the animation that he can point to that says the knife is raised. There was a couple of particular points. While he could not identify that on the screen, he said, essentially, I don't care. That's either what I saw from my perspective, and you don't have that, or that's what I thought was happening. For instance, the video and the animation do not show him backpedaling, but he said, I know I wasn't backpedaling. At the time when I said I was, I thought I was. I was in shock. It happened very quickly. She seemed to make a lot out of whether he was approaching Laquan McDonald or backing away.
That's what stuck with me, and we'll see how that works into their closing arguments, but the fact that he felt under threat and yet was moving toward him and continued to shoot. The other thing, you know, and I'm repeating myself, but he talked about how he emptied. He didn't seem to test. He didn't testify that he stopped shooting when he ran out of bullets. The fact is that he did stop shooting, right, when he ran out of bullets.
Affirmative.
And then much was made of the fact that he was moving to reload, and he said, look, that's how I was trained. I think she scored a point when he was fearful but didn't take cover behind the car, you know, because he would have been trained to do that as well, and yet he didn't do it that night.
But it was another instance where he was essentially saying, in the moment, things are happening quickly, I'm stressed. Either I don't recall or I don't know exactly what happened, but I can tell you that things are moving very quickly. And so it seemed a little incredible that he said he was going to try and knock Laquan McDonald down with his door as he went by. But there is a point in the video where you do see his door open slightly. He's more than a lane away from Laquan McDonald at the time. His car goes around another vehicle, another Chicago Police Department SUV. Now he's getting out of it, and that's when he shoots him. But he did seem to try and open the door ever so briefly, maybe with that in mind, but then they go around, and that's when he gets out and begins to fire. John, did they ask him if he ever had to shoot someone before? I think they have in this trial.
And
the answer is no. He has never used his weapon before, though he's drawn it before. John, how could Van Dyke not be found guilty? If you, this is just something that you may be judging at home or in your car, if you're listening to all of what happened, if you had a sense of how guilty or innocent Laquan, Jason Van Dyke was, 90 minutes later, do you think that there's a greater probability that he'll be found not guilty? Do you think he acquitted himself well enough there that he was able to plant a seed of doubt? Do you think he helped himself? I think he did. I think he did. I think that video and animation were so damning that they're walking him through his series of events, I think actually helped.
It's risky to put the defendant on the stand for fear that there might be a catastrophic blow-up, right? Or that he might seem unsympathetic. I don't know that there was a catastrophe there today. I don't know if I agree with you that he helped himself. I think a lot will be made in closing arguments about the discrepancies in, you know, what he said on the stand versus what he said in the official investigation, and what he said about his impression of Laquan McDonald's arms and movement and what the evidence actually shows.
That's such a leap, isn't it?
What's a leap?
You either accept that he saw it differently than you are seeing it, or you don't. You watch the video. In fact, I don't know how this plays. I'm of a mind that it doesn't help. But even under his own testimony, they showed the video over and over again. And every time you see the video or the animation, Laquan McDonald is crossing the lane away from him. He's getting closer vertically, but he's moving away from him horizontally.
Van Dyke testified that McDonald never turned his back on him, and the prosecutor pointed out that he'd been shot in the back.
He said, well, maybe when he was spinning around.
After the prosecutor called him on it. So, I mean, I think there were some inconsistencies there.
Yeah. Okay, 312-981-7200. We had the luxury of hearing the entire testimony and also being able to see it on screen here, and our reporter Eric Rung has been there, and we've been communicating with him as well. If you've got an observation or a question, 312-981-7200. On WGN, I'm John Williams. Steve Bertrand, you and I, all of us here at WGN Radio, have been listening to the Jason Van Dyke testimony, and we're getting lots of calls and lots of text messages. This texter from 224 said, I cannot believe people think that he is acting. I hear someone who is obviously affected and haunted by what has happened. 312 says, John, I've been a trial lawyer for 30 years, and the officer was very credible. It was better that they stuck to the facts and did not beg for sympathy. Jesse Jackson preening in the middle of the courtroom is disgusting. 708 said, cops are paid to protect us. I'm not sure if he's guilty or innocent, but I'm positive we should support them until proven guilty. My son's going to be a cop. The city's reaction to this case is one of the main reasons he would not even apply to CPD. Chicago does not support their cops or equip them properly. Quit spending money on bike lanes and secure the city, says a texter. Some of your calls include Jimmy. You're on WGN. Jimmy, what do you want to say? You're on the air.
Hello, John. I can tell you a couple things that struck me. First is that I agree with your other commenters that he did sound definitely credible, and I did go into this a bit jaded in thinking that all I had ever seen was this video, and all of us who've seen that are definitely just seeing something really, really bad happen really, really fast. And with, you know, with no sound or anything else, or the prior actions that, that led up to it, we really didn't know. And for what it's worth, I am from a Chicago police family, and I have two brothers still working as policemen in Chicago. One retired, and my father was on for 33 years. And my father told me one time, he's been gone for years now, but he told me that the one time in those 33 years where he had to draw his weapon and actually use it, it was so bang, bang, no pun intended, it happened so fast.
Yeah.
It's like looking at a reverse football play or a baseball play where now we have the 30 seconds to think this through and make an informed decision.
Yeah.
We get the call correct, but at the time, bang, bang, you see the real speed. Things happen really, really fast. And I honestly was kind of thinking all along, since this whole story went down and the unfortunate death occurred, that this guy was, well, prepare your jail cell and bring a toothbrush, because he just looked, you know, he looked guilty. He looked like he had done something wrong. But if you really do listen to the testimony, especially at the rapid rate in which those guns can fire, you know, things like that, and the circumstances leading up to it, I don't know. I kind of had thought before maybe this guy was a jerk, but I'm kind of leaning the other way now. I don't know. I think it's a really tough call.
That's, you know, and that's what it is, isn't it? I mean, I don't think that, you know, you didn't have a yes or no button there. There's nothing that I think 100% is going to sway anybody one way or another. It might support your view, or maybe if you weren't sure, I guess a lot of us ultimately are that way. You know, I suggested earlier that this probably helped a little bit the defense. Steve wasn't so sure, but I think it moved the needle a little bit in Jason Van Dyke's direction. You know, as I said a moment ago, you either are going to believe him or not, because the video doesn't help him. But he's there to tell you, thank you for the phone call, by the way, he's there to tell you that what he saw and felt was different than what we are seeing in the courtroom, what we are seeing on TV. 708 said, oh my gosh, what an actor. 773 said, he's a horrible witness. 309 says, why are they giving Van Dyke such a grilling? He was doing his job. And 847 said, this does not sound like a top-notch prosecutor. Maybe too much Law and Order shows for me. No kidding. It's interesting how seamlessly the real trials don't go, right? Rokan, Anna DeVlantis, what do you guys think? We'll find out in a minute. I got to run. Ro and Anna, I know you guys have a lot to say about what we've been listening to. Am I right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's compelling. And we'll have more detail on this. We believe, by the way, that this is the last witness for the defense right now that's on the stand. And we'll give you details on what was being said there as well. Looks like the Jason Van Dyke trial, in terms of testimony, is wrapping up today. Mike Monaco is here to give us his legal analysis of what we've seen, as Jason Van Dyke just was on the stand in his own defense. John, we'll pick it up from here.